Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
One day they signed Jalen Hurts, the next day it reveals he had ankle surgery. All right, great. It's so it begins.
It was very minor and routine. It's all right.
He can't walk.
It's all good.
How do you know? I've got sources. Can't move.
I just have a hunch he's fine.
We don't do this show on hunches. What's wrong with you?
I guess if you got sources, whatever.
Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15. Hummel's Wharf online at sunburymotors.com. So let's get to, well, let's face it, the entertainment part of the show, and that is the Matt Cotrillo Bitterness Cafe. Okay? Forget the Yellow Brick Road. Rant of the day.
I was the Lion, sorry. When I was in sixth grade.
Very nice.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
Anyway, I'm not as cowardly as that line was, but Draymond Green has got to go. I've had enough with the guy. I don't know if I've already put him in my Hall of Stinkage, but if I didn't, I'm officially putting him in and also putting him on the dope category as well. This guy, I've said it before, he's been a menace in the NBA for his entire career and continues to be with what he did last night in the loss against the Kings. I get it. The guy grabbed him in the leg when they had the little scuffle trying to get the loose ball on the rebound. I get that. But that doesn't excuse him from what he did by stomping on the guy afterwards. And then he gets the technical foul. He gets thrown out. Okay, great. But then as he's going out, it takes him a while to get off the court. And then secondly, and this is already a guy that has shown beef to fans for jawing at players and was all worried about player safety. Well, he's starting it with the fans and jawing at the fans in Sacramento. So I don't want to hear any more about worried about player safety with fans being too close to the stands and whatnot, because he tried to engage them last night as he's heading off the court. This guy should be suspended. Not only suspended, he should be suspended for the rest of the postseason. I can't stand his antics anymore. I really can't. Enough with the excuses with him either. I mean, I know Jim Jackson called it right. I know what happened in the play, but that doesn't excuse him for it. And then you have the SI.com clown over there and Chris Mannix, who forgets about the reality of the league because he's so enamored, or he's too enamored with the stars in the league itself, thinks the Lakers are going to win the title for whatever reason. Shocking. Is trying to defend Draymond Green in this case. Are you serious? A guy stomped on another guy in an NBA professional basketball game. There's no place for it. I don't care what the guy did. Throw him out. Hey, because I'm happy. Clap along if you feel like a room without a roof.
That's what you want. Come on, minions, everybody. Come on.
No good! No good! No good!
I don't understand.
F-O-U-L-E. That offense to you. I would not
waste your time. Everybody.
Because somebody is alone if you feel like a room without a room.
Come on.
Because I'm happy, I'm alone if you feel like happiness is the truth.
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
Sorry. I couldn't help it. Oh, man. Sorry, couldn't help it.
That was pretty good. I'll give you that.
I thought it was... I was waiting for a moment where you'd, like, go, like, over the edge. That was pretty close.
That was good, though. All I right. have to admit.
All right. So, Sabonis... does grab him on the play. There's no question about that. And you know, Sabonis is a really good player, you know, and his dad, obviously, Arvydas Sabonis, was such a great player in Lithuania. This is the young man who went to Gonzaga. And the Sacramento team is a good team. And he's been going at it with Green. But this, I mean, now would I suspend Green for the next game? No, I would not do that. You got a flagrant two. You got knocked out of the game in the fourth quarter. It really was a determining play in the game. At that point, I think that's enough for him. Fine him, yes. Suspend him, no. He already got tossed out of the game, and should have been tossed out of the game. Sabonis shouldn't grab him, and if he inadvertently stepped on him, there's no way he would get a flagrant. But he stopped and boom, popped him really good. Now, to make it worse, Green is saying he wants an X-ray, an MRI on his ankle. Really? You want an MRI on your ankle? Okay. Let's milk it. Sacramento's up 2-0 in the series.
I hope they sweep the Warriors.
Well, it would knock them out. It would also make the Lakers already had an easy route to begin with to get to a certain point, to get to the Western Conference Final. One of the teams that could beat them would be Golden State in terms of matchup, but... But I love the fact that Sacramento was in. They haven't been in for a while. The crowd's going crazy. I haven't been in for 16 years. The guy I really have a lot of respect for is De'Aaron Fox. And here's the reason why. Fox is a really good player, has been a really good player all 6 years in the league. He's averaged 25 or better in two of the last 3 years. And you want to know what? He has spent all 6 years with the Sacramento Kings. He has not left. And I give him a lot of credit for that because, let's face it, you're sitting there at an outpost that a lot of people don't realize even exists in the NBA or in professional sports, and he stayed. He stayed. He's been there all 6 years. And he had a big game last night. He played really well. He had a couple big threes when they needed it. And we are now witnessing what the NBA's biggest problem is. The NBA's biggest problem is the playoffs are really, really good. And the regular season is not. That's the NBA's biggest problem. The playoffs are really, really good, really compelling. Sixers did a great job shutting down Irving and Durant last night. Oh, they don't play for them anymore?
Oh, my almighty!
Sorry. So, like, being up 2-0 really isn't that impressive. And was lost last night, too. thinking of myself.
You're 100% anyway. Correct. Yes.
Yes. Although Tyrese Maxey kind of bailed him out last night. Played well.
Yes, he did.
See, that's the third guy that, when I was talking with Kate, that they need to have. Doesn't have to be the same third guy. Does not have to be the same third guy. You know, you need to have Harden play well. Embiid is a given. He has to play great for you. But you need to have a third guy. It could be Tobias Harris one night. It could be maybe Shake Milton. It could be Tyrese Maxey. You know, it doesn't have to be the same third guy every time, but there has to be a third guy, and last night it was Maxey. Maxey played great.
See, I think the Sixers are better and should be the case that Maxey should be that third guy. I think he should be consistently that third guy. And if he is, the Sixers are better. You saw it last night.
It should be Tobias Harris, but he doesn't do it consistently enough. But to their credit, you know, again, the only reason the Nets are in this spot is because when they had Durant and they had Irving, they built up a record. Right? So
correct.
That's why they're in this spot. And Mikal Bridges, who should have been a Sixer his entire career.
Absolutely. Another brilliant trade under Josh Harris and his stupid GMs at the time, but we won't go down that rabbit hole again.
Made no sense.
Yeah.
But they took the guy from Texas Tech? Like, going, what the heck? This guy can't. I said, I called Dick up. I said, that guy can't play.
It was all about his wingspan, and oh my God, he could be such a force on defense. This guy didn't even see a minute.
By the way, it looks like Allen Robinson's close to becoming a Pittsburgh Steeler. He's going to get traded by the Rams to the Steelers. He does have to pass a physical. And because remember, he sat out the last part of the season. The Steelers get him and a 7th-round pick. The Rams get a 7th-round pick. So they just flip picks, essentially. So this is what the Steelers get. They get Allen Robinson, and now they'll pick 251. The Rams, in return, will pick 234. Robinson is scheduled to get $15.25 million this year. The Rams will pay 10.25. The Steelers will pay 5. And Allen will take the physical tomorrow in Pittsburgh. And yes, I can confirm that he was hurt at the end of the year because I talked to Allen I think it was New Year's Day. I think it was on January 1. It was at the what would be the Fast Friday walkthrough. Allen was there, and I talked to him for a little bit. He spoke to the team and then talked to him afterward. Look, he'll make plays. I mean, look, there's Chase Claypool, there's Allen Robinson. Okay, well, the best you can say about Chase Claypool is the Steelers got a second-round pick out of it. And to Mertzi, I'm sorry, it was an awful trade by your team. Awful. But they made up for it. They made a great trade with Carolina. Because, look, they're not going to draft him. They're not going to draft a quarterback. And Penn State has officially announced, yes, I can do this now. Ace Baldwin and Nick Kern have officially transferred and now are part of the Penn State basketball program.
Bingo!
So now I can actually talk about them. So some of these rules are so archaic. So archaic. But got to follow them until they're taken off the books. Oh, boy. Okay.
I am very excited about Ace Baldwin. Excited to see what he can do.
Well, you know what? Defensively, he is outstanding. And offensively, he does a great job of running the show, and he's a much better shooter than people realize. He is a very good shooter. Kern can step out. He can hit threes, but he's really athletic. He can face up and hit a 10 to 15-footer. And is a good defender as well. So, I mean, those are two terrific pickups in the transfer portal for Penn State basketball. So that's the story there with those two. Now you just got to wait now on other people. And I know the playing the waiting game is not fun. But my patience drives you nuts.
In some cases, yes. In some cases, no. This case, it's okay. Because I get it.
Just when it happens, it happens. Yeah. Go from there. So, just kind of take it one step at a time. And you hate when I say take it one step at a time. It drives you nuts. You want the answer now. Yeah. Hey, great job signing that contract. Yeah, I had surgery. What? Took a whole bunch of stuff out of my ankle. No big deal. Can't walk. Oh, boy. So it begins. So it begins. The whole thing with his contract is quite simple. I was on another show today, and they asked me about it. And they said, what do you think it means for other quarterbacks and Lamar? I said, it depends on what the cap hit is. I said, that's the entire key, is how is it structured? Because you have to have the ability to put people around him. And you got people around him now. What's going to be your ability to keep them or, if need be, change them? That's the key. But you couldn't go forward without them. So, yeah. I'm sure there's another rant here somewhere, right?
Of course.
By the way, Neil Coulong in a few moments. There'll be no rant in the next half hour. So just cool your jets, because I want you to be happy. Just figure you're on a roll and we'd insert that.
Always happy to be here every day.
I came in a really good mood today because I just got off the phone for the last 45 minutes. I was talking to Johnny Holiday, so the great, legendary 44-year voice of Maryland. And he and I talked for about 45 minutes. Solved a lot of problems. Some of them dealt with you.
Does he like the new unis?
Look, the only thing that he and I care about is whether you can read the numbers.
Right, yes. I'm with you on that. I've been in that spot before. When you can't, it's not fun.
Well, I remember talking to Paul Keels. This is years ago. He does Ohio State. Ohio State years ago was in the Rose Bowl playing Oregon. And I said, Paul, how was it with the Oregon uniforms? He says, Steve, it was impossible. He said, our stuff's the big block like you guys have. I said, yeah. He says, and there's like I had a color scheme. And so I couldn't tell half the time who the people were. It's crazy. Okay, we'll come back more in a moment. Great to have you with us today on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online, sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, best in new inventory, all with great warranties. Fabulous pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee. And a fabulous service department that backs it all up with great technicians for the life of your vehicle. All at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. With that, we bring in the guru, Neil Kulong. Sir, welcome.
Fantastic to be here. You're moving closer. It's a big draft day, and of course the Steelers have to go and do something that gets our attention off of that, right?
Yeah, they'll have to. They have made a deal where they'll pick up Allen Robinson from the Rams, and then they, in exchange, the Rams are going to pay 2/3 of his salary, and they flip-flop 7th-round picks. This is all if Allen can pass the physical tomorrow. Just your thoughts on adding in a guy that is, without question, a pro's pro as a receiver to that group.
I think that's the phrase to use. There's a reason. I'm choosing my words carefully here. That the national reporters who broke this story and are continuing to update it are adding in the if he passes his physical part. Mm-hmm. And that's absolutely something to look at. This is a player that has had multiple significant injuries in his career. He's ended his last two seasons at a fairly unproductive level with injuries. He has an ACL tear to go along with a very positive career when healthy. He hasn't been healthy in a very, very long time. So the details of the trade are a lot more complex than what the overriding issue is, which is he healthy enough to execute this trade now? You have to think, of course, they wouldn't have gone this far if they weren't, at least kind of confident with each other. But at the end of the day, it depends on what the Steelers doctors say, not what the Rams doctors say. So,
right.
I don't know. I would say, ordinarily, something a cliche like, don't hold your breath just yet, but this is Allen Robinson we're talking about here. It's not 2016 Robinson. It's not 2019 right. Robinson. It's 2023 Allen Robinson. So the compensation of this trade speaks to that. This is really not – it's a less expensive version of the trade that they had for William Jackson last year. They're really not giving up anything. they're offering to take on salary. And in this case, the Steelers are giving up a little bit more than what they would have given up to Washington in the event that the Jackson situation didn't happen the way that it did. They're going to pay him $5 million to take him off of the Rams roster and hopefully get something of a productive slot receiver out of it. We have not seen Robinson play a whole lot. So he played 12 games last year, didn't do much, really was just kind of a catch and tackle receiver, not a prominent fixture And that part of that was with the absence of Cooper Kupp. It's not as if his targets increased significantly with that. He wasn't a real focal point of what they had. They were paying him a massive amount of money. Him not being on the Rams is the least surprising news of the NFL offseason. So what the Steelers are getting out of this, I don't think is significant if he does pass the physical. You know, we'll see if that happens. Yeah. But I don't think it's as big a deal as Steelers fans are making it out to be, because, one, this isn't fantasy football. Two, it's not 2018 anymore. He's a name. He's not a high-level productive player anymore, and that's just the reality of the NFL for a lot of people. 10.3 yards a catch is, you know, that's not something to you know, really get excited about.
My opinion, he gets in there. And I talked to Allen on New Year's Day. He spoke to the team at practice that day. And after practice for the Rose Bowl, I talked to him for a little bit. And look, if he goes into Pittsburgh, he passes the physical, he goes into Pittsburgh, I can see him making 40 to 45 catches and getting some first downs.
Yeah, and that fits what the Steelers have really been asking their primary slot receivers to do. He's going to be there. Hopefully, the way that I see it, and let's put salary aside, because in reality, it's almost not even to the dollar anymore. It's really just kind of a group of dollar amounts. Yeah. Robinson is not in a highly expensive range for what the Steelers are paying this year. The Rams are going to pay 10.25, which includes the 5.25 of his roster bonus. And they're splitting his base salary, $5 million each. The Steelers are going to pay $5 million, which is a massive price over what they would normally pay a slot receiver. But they're getting a veteran into the room. They've got a young team. And the value of having the veteran there, even at an elevated cost, is you don't have to draft another rookie. And we've talked about this a couple times. Regardless of what Steeler Nation thinks, Calvin Austin hasn't played a game. We have no idea who Calvin Austin is going to be. Odds are not good he's going to step on the field and catch, you know, 70 for 1,200 anyway. This isn't Mike Wallace in year two or anything. George Pickens is still developing as a player. Deontay Johnson has this and one more year at a bad price for both sides next year. We don't know where they're going with the position. But we do know that drafting yet another young receiver is taxing on the entire group. Adding a veteran to that makes a lot more sense. So I can see why they would do it, even if the price is up a bit. But that veteran presence, I think, is really what you're paying for, perhaps more than anything else. I agree with you. He's shown that he can catch the ball. At his best, he was legitimately one of the best route runners in the game. Underneath, he was dangerous. Yeah. You know, really shifty. Hard to cover him, zone or man. He was a weapon. He has that know-how if he doesn't quite have the same physical ability anymore, and it is something that they need to have. I think a large part of the problems, if you want to call them that, that Deontay Johnson had last year was the tacklers swarmed to him because he's the only guy that they threw to at that level. You know, the intermediate level where Johnson eats is what Robinson is able to do. So if you can have two guys running concurrently with each other, you might be able to set one or the other up. That's something the Steelers offense absolutely did not do last year for whatever reason. That's probably challenge number one for Matt Canada. If he wants to continue in his role, he's going to have to find a way to better set up the receivers off one another. I think Robinson can help that in the shorter area because he's good at seeing where coverage is. How to get open, and perhaps draw some of the attention that Johnson's getting away from the middle, away from the flats, and give him an opportunity to be able to make one guy miss and get upfield instead of having to make three guys miss, which is what we saw of him last year when his numbers fell through the floor. So there's some utility value to him. I don't think it's going to be a statistical gain. 40-45, I can see that. I think that's probably optimistic. But with a 17-game schedule, let's just assume, because we're not ghoulish, that he will play all 17 games, That, yeah, that's about right. I don't think Anthony Miller would do any less than that. So I don't think it's so much the player, the physical player. I think it's what he can bring to help the rest of the wide receiver group out.
Because that's what I see with Patrick Peterson. He'll be a more productive player, and he'll play a lot more. But I also think he'll be a guy that if they decide to draft a young corner, that corner will lean on Patrick Peterson's knowledge. And I think that's what part of this is, too.
Yeah, I would agree. The Steelers have done this. They'll throw in a little bit of a kicker telling somebody, basically, look, you're going to get what you're going to get in terms of production. What we want you to do is help out with this guy that we bring in. They'll pay a premium to their veterans to do things like that. It's important. That's part of the team. And when you're operating with a $225 million salary cap that you're going to be, you know, minus $5 million, $6 million during the season, there's value in paying a little bit more, one, to get that player in the door because you really need him, and two, to make sure that they do accept and understand that mentorship role going into it. And, yes, I think Peterson helps with that. He's got some utility as a player, but they absolutely are going to sign. They're going to draft a quarterback. You know, that's a foregone conclusion. And having a future Hall of Famer there to help mentor him definitely helps. And I think Robinson, to some extent, can provide a little bit of that as well. And I'm pulling this out on my own. Nobody's reporting this or anything like that. But you know, Deontay Johnson's a guy that he held out of camp last year. He has a contract again. It's upside down for next year. His base salary is lower than his cap charge is. So whether he's on the team next year or not is still up in the air. And apparently he got into a fight with a quarterback in a week four game at halftime. I'm not sure that that's the best thing for a team, though I might argue that maybe the quarterback needed to hear it in a more forceful way.
Yeah.
You could see why they need another veteran is really my point. Johnson is there. Johnson is a solid, proven NFL player. Pickens is young. Austin is young. The rest of the room is up in the air. So providing maybe a little bit more of a due north off the field and practice influence guy, it makes a lot of sense. And with that, you're going to pay a little bit of a premium. The world's not going to collapse if they're paying $5 million for that versus $3 million, which is going to be the rate. And it's the rate of Miles Boykin, who's probably going to be overall, on some degree, as productive as a 35-catch slot receiver. He's one of the better special teams players in the game. He's excellent in that role. You're paying a little bit of a premium, I think, to have the guy that really has excelled at the position to help a very young room with a young coaching staff.
You mentioned in their cap. Any idea what Jalen Hurts' contract does to the Eagles' cap moving forward?
I haven't broken it down specifically, but cap hits are going to be one thing today, and they're really going to take root 2 years from now.
Right.
And there's a lot of things that can happen between now and then. It really depends on how the Eagles want to manage that, like they would anybody else. You know, Deshaun Watson's contract was pretty simple. Here it all is. It's guaranteed. They built it in such a way that it kind of models what Patrick Mahomes has in Kansas City, in that they have the ability to restructure a base salary into a signing bonus at the beginning of each year. Okay. So what I mean by that is he has a large base salary and he doesn't have anything guaranteed going into the year. I should say, in Mahomes' case, the base salary is guaranteed anyway, and obviously Watson's is too. So converting the base salary into signing bonus drops his cap substantially and pushes it out later on. And they've implemented it in such a way that they're doing it at the pace of growth. So his cap number is right in line with an extended veteran quarterback with the rest of the league. So it's manageable. And I without having gone into the nitty-gritty details of Hurts's, I would imagine it's structured similar to that, with probably similar cap hits with a little bit less cash in the form of guarantee. But he'll probably make that up because, it doesn't seem all that common that you fall out of favor with a quarterback that you paid, you know, top three, top two money to in 2 years. You know, he's still on the team. He's not going anywhere. So the guaranteed piece of it to me is arbitrary. I mean, for the player, obviously it matters. For the cap, it's insignificant. You know, he's going to get the money anyway because they're not going to cut him. So it's inconsequential overall. And the cap, I would imagine, is going to fall in line with what they can project the cap to be within, you know, a couple million dollars one way or another. They have a good sense of what that's going to be. And with that, this is how agents negotiate. They're talking about the percentage of the cap being the quarterback salary because the top guys are getting this percentage of the cap. It's not the total dollars. So whatever that number happens to be is the number they'll land on, plus or minus, you know, some points for negotiation. I'd imagine to be somewhere in there, and that the quarterback's cap number is going to hit 40, 45 in a regular year in the next two, 3 seasons. And that's pre-Herbert and Burrow. So Hurts got, an excellent deal for who
he
is. It's with a franchise that knows exactly how to use him to his strengths, and they've obviously had a lot of success together, and he's going to be recognized as one of the highest-paid players in the game. However, you want to shift that around. There's a bunch of different ways to define it. Hurts is in that conversation in all of those forms of measurement. So, I at the end of the day, you might have cap space having a quarterback on a significantly lower deal, but usually that means you don't have a quarterback. So, the Eagles got away with not having to pay their quarterback, and they made hay with that. Now they're going to have to
they're going to have to be more clever.
Yeah, there are worse crimes to have. There are worse challenges to have in the NFL than having to pay a really good quarterback. That's just the way that I see it. They're going to get paid.
People make
too much out of the cap itself. It's accounting. They have to pay good players. You know, you're not going to win if you don't.
Right. And my bottom line is you have to have them. They did what they had to do.
Yep.
No issue with the contract. But now, moving forward, you're going to have to put chess pieces around him to make sure it fits the number that you need.
Yeah. If you want to do a comparative analysis of it, Steelers have to do the same thing around Kenny Pickett. Doesn't matter how much he makes. It's a different set of problems, you know. But universally, you have to put good players around your core players if you want to be successful. Eagles will have to transition. You know, they're not going to be able to go out and get the rent-a-player like Damacon Sue midway through the season, pay him, you know, the prorated version of $10 million. To play down the stretch, but you don't have to do that to win a Super Bowl either. You know, the Chiefs second half certainly of the Super Bowl proved that. So it's a challenge in a different form. You just have to hit on draft picks like you usually do. You got to find market regressed value players for your scheme, your system, on the cheap and free agency, and you got to get rookies to go well above their rookie contract. The system across the entire NFL always depends on that. That's always what it comes down to. So you draft well, you're going to be a good team. That's just the reality of the league. And quarterbacks make money. That's just something you have to pay. So they're still in a good spot. I would bet on that front office over just about anybody in the league, probably.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they have a quarterback with proven success and a staple of offense that they're going to be able to replicate. They've still got excellent receivers. Keep that in mind. They've built their team very well. I would imagine they'll be just as competitive next year the year after.
Yeah. This upcoming year, they're fine. It's going to be a question of 2 years from now. You probably can't keep Brown. You're on the verge of maybe not keeping Smith, so that's where you got to be a little more clever.
Yep, and that's the challenge. You know, you hope to get a high-level guy. They can't all be A.J. Brown. They can't all be Devontae Smith.
No, that's right.
High-level A-plus players. But you hope for the right opportunity because you look at the Brown situation. They didn't draft it. They just exploited Tennessee and their, you know, as we would find out, their outgoing general manager for a sucker's deal. You can find that if you know what you're looking for in the league. And I feel like Howie Roseman is dialed into that. They know what they want from their players. They know how they want to play football. It's a huge asset to have, because then you're finding, you know, the market downgrade of guys, because they don't fit in as well anywhere else as they will in Philadelphia. So you can draft that guy in the fifth round and have him be a high-level guy for you for 4 years. You may keep him, you may not, but that cycle will continue to repeat itself. The more successful you're going to be with it, the more options you have, and then you can be creative in building out what you have around your core group.
You're the best. Appreciate you so much.
Definitely. Thanks, sir. You guys have a good one.
You too. Neil Coulon. We'll talk about the draft next week. And the Steelers will have two picks in the first 32 because of that trade with the Bears. We will come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. More rants in the next half hour. Should be exciting. I thought the opening was really good. Don't you?
I think it speaks for itself.
I feel like Pharrell capped it off perfectly.